This broadcast is sponsored by His Way Out Ministries with our home base of ministry operation in Bakersfield, California. For more information about His Way Out Ministries, please visit HisWayOut.com.
Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning in. For today's broadcast, here's the setting. You are sitting in church listening to your pastor. You're following along and taking notes on the very relevant topic of same-sex attraction because what is being shared is not only relevant to our culture, it's relevant to you personally. Sitting in church surrounded by fellow believers, you are pretty comfortable and content. But now, you have the task, if not the monumental challenge, of facing that son, daughter, friend, coworker, or neighbor that sees absolutely nothing wrong with homosexual practice and may even be involved in a same-sex relationship. You are now the one that gets to flesh out the truth you now know. How is that done? What do you do? What don't you do? What does representing Christ Jesus in this matter look like? I'd like to offer on today's broadcast some very practical points I believe will help you in being more effective in reaching those with the brokenness of same-sex attraction. My very first encouragement is to learn as much as you can about the causes of homosexuality. Simply knowing it is wrong is not even close to being enough. I've shared many times on our broadcast that our website, HisWayOut.com, is an extensive library of information offering articles, educational videos, testimonies, a wealth of information at HisWayOut.com that I believe will encourage and equip you to be more effective in representing Christ Jesus to those, hopefully with unwanted same-sex attraction. Next, I'd like to share that I believe that we're not to run the matter into the ground every time we see our friend or daughter or son. Often there can be a very good reason for not dealing with the problem right now. The principle here, I believe, is God's never in a hurry, so why do we need to be? Next, do everything you can to keep the lines of communication open and maintain your relationship. If you feel you've been batting your head against the wall seeking resolution of the problem, take a rest. It may not be God's time to deal with this issue at that particular time. Next, make sure your son, daughter, or friend, or coworker is aware of your belief and position regarding homosexual practice. Heaven knows God can deal with and use our mistakes, but He cannot deal with our inaction. Be very, very clear and precise. Also, do not argue about homosexuality. I strongly encourage that the very moment the conversation erupts into anger, drop it. Badgering will only produce pushing the individual the wrong direction. Many issues in life are often solved very indirectly, not when we are consciously dealing with them, but when we are going about our normal lives. Next, I really believe it's imperative to distinguish between acceptance and approval. It's important to separate both in our minds and to our loved ones their individual worth from the acts of homosexuality they may be committing. Always, always very, very important to remember that we're ultimately not talking just about an issue. We're talking about people, people whom God loves and people for whom Jesus died. stay completely away from Christian cliches such as God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And another Christian cliche I would encourage you to stay away from is love the sinner, but hate the sin. Christian cliches only reinforce the belief of many with same-sex attraction that the Christian community is unwilling to truly educate themselves on the complexities of same-sex attraction. Next, don't hesitate to admit when and where the church has been wrong with regard to men and women with same-sex attraction. We, the church, have made mistakes, and in some cases, I really do believe we owe the gay community an apology. Refrain from attacking the character of homosexuals when discussing homosexuality. Keep to the real issue. The real issue is whether or not homosexual practice is, in and of itself, moral. Scripturally speaking, it is impossible to validate homosexual practice in any form to any degree. It cannot be done from Scripture. Make that your foundation. Show the individual that your personal opinion, your belief, and your stance is not based, again, just on your personal feelings, but it's based upon the truth and the authority of Scripture. Also, don't be discouraged if your conversations do not produce instant fruit. What we will answer to God for is speaking truth lovingly and plainly, not for how our loved one responds. I'd like to encourage you today that being a witness for Christ really is not an optional extra. It's a command and calling. The gay community is a virtually untouched mission field, and you and I representing Christ, being an ambassador for Him, we have a lot to share with those in the gay community, His love and truth balanced with His grace. Be relentless in looking for every opportunity to share. It is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the indwelling presence of His Spirit, which is the foundation needed to overcome same-sex attraction. Jesus is very, very clear in the Gospel of John. We need to be born again. And that is the truth, and we need to be sharing again with those in the gay community. We also need to release control and let God decide how to bring freedom. God is the only one who can bring about change in the homosexual. I really want to reinforce this principle because I really do believe that within the brokenness of same-sex attraction or the very, very long list of various habits, addictions, and compulsive behaviors, ultimately, at its core, we're talking about a spiritual problem which requires a spiritual solution, and His name is and shall forever remain Jesus. Let your son, your daughter, your friend, your neighbor, your coworker, let everyone know that God has a reputation of transforming trapped people with damaged sexualities. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Listen to these very, very incredible words. And such were some of you. These words apply to all Christians who had formerly participated in homosexuality. Freedom from same-sex attraction, a new life in Christ, is not new on the scene. Men and women, even before the Bible was in print, according to this particular scripture passage, were experiencing freedom and new life in Christ, again, even before the Bible was in print. And remember, those entangled in sin, of course, will have weak faith, so be merciful to those who doubt. For every one of us, one of the great crossroads in life is trying to come to terms with choices children, friends, and family members are making that are no longer within our control. Often we feel helpless to stop what is happening, and it's often a very frustrating, if not a frightening, position in which to find ourselves. Ultimately, our choices about how we are going to react are sometimes all you and I have left. Even if God were to answer the question why He has allowed this or that to happen in our families and our friendships, this would not change the fact that it has happened. We must face reality and understand that life, at least in some respects, just may never be quite the same again. However, looking through the eyes of faith, it will be much, much better as we learn the lessons that the Lord has for us in this situation. To that end, in light of our acceptance of this reality, we can ask, what now, Lord, rather than why? The question, where do we go from here, is monumentally important. While there are no specific verses in the Bible telling us under what circumstances, if any, we should adopt this or that policy toward a homosexual loved one, let's consider a few specific communications that need to be offered with the hope and endeavor of keeping the lines of communication open. What the Bible says, and why you disapprove of homosexuality every time you're around your child, your friend, your coworker, is not always necessary to state. However, do make sure the individual knows some of the following. First and foremost, you understand that he or she did not ask for these feelings. I guarantee you, no one sets out to have an issue of same-sex attraction. The feelings and the emotions and temptations that one experiences with regard to same-sex attraction come that individual's way that they did not seek, they did not ask for. So it is appropriate to say to the individual, I know you didn't ask for these circumstances in life. Also, share that you appreciate their honesty and transparency in disclosing their issue with same-sex attraction. We are sexual beings because that's how God created us. Our sexuality, really from God the Father, is a gift, providing sexual expression stays within His well-defined holy boundary lines. If an individual is struggling with aspects of their sexuality, their gender, and they make their way to you, and they're disclosing this very significant part of who they are, I guarantee you they are viewing you as an individual they believe that they can trust, that should never ever be treated lightly. Your belief in homosexual practice to the individual, though, should be shared in the context of the authority of Scripture, meaning that your belief is not going to change. Both the Old and the New Testament is very, very clear in stating that homosexual practice in any form to any degree in God's eyes is in fact a sin. Make that clear and make it clear once again that your belief is not going to change. But also share that you want to protect your relationship through mutual respect and understanding. While you may never agree on the subject of homosexuality, you are committed to not letting that disagreement ruin your relationship. Reaching individuals struggling with their sexual identity is something we all can do, and we must do to help them understand God's abundant plans for their lives and to counteract misguided agendas that seek to ruin all hope for youth and adults alike. You and I may be the only person that will have the courage to share the good news with an individual impacted by sexual and relational brokenness. So once again, practically speaking, let's keep the consequence of sin in context. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. It is not just those struggling with aspects of their sexuality. We are all in need of a loving, forgiving Savior. We can also share that accepting an individual and loving an individual without conditions has nothing to do with condoning their behavior and their lifestyle. See the person, not just an issue. Offer, if you would please, to serve as an accountability partner and a prayer partner. James 5:16 is contained in God's words for good reason. The verse says that we're to confess our faults, our sins, one to another so that someone will be praying for us so that we will be healed. That verse some take only to mean physical healing, but I would submit it means much, much more. It also means mental healing, emotional healing, and sexual healing. But today, in the scheme of things, in the world in which you and I live today, I really believe that if we do not have at least one or two individuals structured in our lives to whom we are accountable, that we can go to and bear warts and all, we really have a formula for disaster. We need to clearly distinguish the difference between temptation and sin. Men in particular that struggle with same-sex attraction, Christian men, often think to themselves that when things are not progressing to the point of the way that they believe that they should with regard to their same-sex attraction, they start even to question the reality if they're born again. Temptation and sin are not the same. They are dramatically different, and we need to distinguish between the two. Don't overreact and be prepared for the born that way argument. To date, after almost 70 years of numerous scientists seeking to prove that homosexuality is genetic, in other words, they were determined to discover a gay gene, To date, not one scientific study has conclusively proven that homosexuality is genetic. I would submit that the search for the gay gene has really been, in many respects, like the search for the Loch Ness Monster. Lots of sightings and no proof. Also, you are not expected to have all the answers. The Holy Spirit's alive and well, and we need to allow him to do his job. We don't save anyone. You and I don't deliver anyone. That is God the Father's work. But you and I are ambassadors of Christ Jesus, sharing his truth. And hopefully, the individual will be in a place that they are receptive in mind, heart, and spirit to receive God's truth, regardless of what our present culture is preaching on this topic and many, many others. On that note, never, ever water down the Word of God. Show the individual from Scripture on this subject matter that, again, God does not approve of homosexual practice, and your belief is not based on feeling or emotion, but upon the truth and the authority of Scripture. Don't water down God's Word. Also, be patient and trust God completely. In America, we've become a nation that wants everything microwaved, and that includes our deliverance. But I would submit that more than not, God chooses to work in our lives through a process. And when we start talking about process, we're always talking about an element of time. And the reality is, whatever aspects of our lives we may be struggling or combating, you and I are in the process of becoming more and more conformed to the image of our loving Savior. And I would submit that that process will continue in your life and in my life until we either go home to be with him or he comes back to get us. Ultimately, emphasize the key to overcoming sexual brokenness and sexual identity confusion is in Christ Jesus. Christian, even though, again, you are a sexual being, your true identity is in Christ. Hang on to that foundational truth. Don't allow your past to dictate who you are in Christ today. And heaven knows, myself included, we all have a past that we wish we could go back and do a lot of things over. That's not possible. While we may have had a very bumpy beginning in life, we can have a very, very dramatic, different ending. Hang on to your identity in Jesus. Once again, in our trying to reach and reason with individuals struggling with their sexual identity, and more specifically, same-sex attraction, what does representing Christ Jesus in this matter look like? We've always got to bring it back to the authority of Scripture. So let's consider the question. Scripturally speaking, what do we know about homosexuality? We know, according to Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that you and I, we are created beings, created with a very specific intent. Clearly from the beginning, God had a divine intent for human sexuality. His plan in the beginning is the very same plan as it is today. We also know, according to Matthew chapter 18, verses 4 through 6, that God's divine intent for human sexuality is fulfilled within the covenant of a monogamous and heterosexual union. Okay, big words. Let's break it down. Appointed options for faithful, dedicated followers of Christ. We only have two options available to us. One is a man and a woman, the two becoming one, remaining faithful to one another, doing their utmost to live within God's well-defined holy boundary lines of matrimony. That's option one. Option two really revolves around a question, and here's the question. Are you single? If the answer is yes, you're not to be sexually active, period. We also know, according to Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19, that we are a fallen race, and the fall has marred every part of our experience, including our sexual preference. Men and women with same-sex attraction want to know, how did this happen? I didn't sign up for this. I didn't ask this to come my way. Where does this come from? Let's consider two biblical truths. One, we are born into a fallen world. That is true for all of us. Secondly, we all struggle with a sinful nature. What does that tell us? We're all broken. And our brokenness is going to manifest in each of our lives differently from person to person, also influenced by different factors, often happening in the formative years in our lives between the age of 2 and 11. We also know, according to Leviticus chapter 18, and Leviticus chapter 20, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10, that homosexuality is a manifestation of fallen nature and it violates created intent. Homosexuality is not the unpardonable sin. Again, if you would read, please, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, you will see. With homosexuality mentioned in this catalog or list of behaviors, it's mentioned in the middle telling us what? In God's eyes, it's just another sin. Let's not elevate it to a position that God has not. And finally, we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, homosexuals, like all people, are redeemable and change is possible. Change today regarding homosexuality often does not receive a lot of good press. However, according to Scripture, change for the homosexual is possible according to God Himself. Now, we can really break that down in many, many aspects in terms of change. The greatest change I would submit for all of us is to know that we are born again, to know that our eternal destination has been changed from hell to heaven. As we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the change that you and I hope to see, and we will see in our lives, as long as we keep our eyes on Him, is progressive. Holiness does not occur in our lives overnight. We did not arrive in our broken places in life overnight. It's unrealistic to believe that it's going to occur overnight. I do get it. I do understand that we want to see things dramatically changed in an instant. But often God chooses to work through a process because ultimately He wants us to know Him in greater, greater measure. There are six main scriptures that completely condemn homosexual practice and dozens more that only support a holy heterosexual lifestyle. Genesis chapter 19 verses 1 through 13. Leviticus chapter 18 verse 22. Leviticus chapter 20 verse 13. Romans chapter 1 verses 18 through 32, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 9 through 11, and 1 Timothy chapter 1 verses 7 through 10. Again, the His Way Out Ministries website is an extensive library of information to help you and equip you and encourage you to be more effective in reaching to those with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. I would encourage you, please, to visit the website, use the information, share it, download it. It's all there to help you in being more effective in being an ambassador for Christ to those in the gay community. In the last few moments of today's broadcast, I'd really like to revisit what we have been focusing on throughout the broadcast, and that is, how do you and I represent Christ Jesus to those with same-sex attraction? What does that look like? How is that defined? Some of the points that I would like to share once again, beginning with, my first encouragement is always, always, always learn as much as you can about the causes of homosexuality, because simply knowing it is wrong is not even close to being enough. Also, don't run the matter into the ground every time you're around your friend or your loved one or your neighbor. Often there can be a good reason for not dealing with a problem right now. Do your utmost to keep the lines of communication open, because I guarantee you, life can change in the twinkling of an eye overnight. So keep those lines of communication open, because you could be the very, very lifeline for the individual that may be looking for support and guidance. Make sure those individuals that may have a different point of view regarding homosexual practice, make sure that they are aware that your belief and your position regarding homosexual practice is not going to change, because your belief and your stance is based upon the truth and the authority of Scripture. Never, ever, ever argue about homosexuality. I strongly encourage that the very moment the conversation erupts into anger, drop it. Back up, pray, wait for your next opportunity to once again address the topic. Always, always, always distinguish between acceptance and approval. As Christians, we accept all people, but that does not mean that we must approve of how each individual is living their life. Again, stay away from Christian cliches such as God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, and also love the sinner but hate the sin. Love the sinner but hate the sin, I guarantee you, if you share that with a youth struggling with their sexual identity, probably the only word that they will hear is the word hate. Stay away from the cliches. It's okay to admit when and where we, the church, have been wrong with regard to men and women with same-sex attraction, and we have made mistakes. And again, I really do believe in some respects we, the church, owe the gay community an apology. Don't be discouraged if your conversations do not produce instant fruit. What we will answer to God for is speaking truth lovingly and plainly, not for how our loved one or our friend may possibly respond. And be very, very relentless in looking for every opportunity to share. It is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the indwelling presence of His Spirit, which is the foundation needed to overcome same-sex attraction. Release control. Let God decide how to bring freedom. God is the only one who can bring about change in the homosexual. And remember, those we are trying to reach very well could have weak faith, so be merciful to those who doubt. And that's according to Jude 22. Again, I want to thank you for tuning in today to His Way Out Ministries radio broadcast. We are here every Saturday, 12 noon, as well as we are broadcasting also in Chattanooga, Tennessee, every evening, your local time at 8:30 p.m. Our broadcast is 30 minutes long, and I hope that you will tune in again each and every Saturday, same time, same station, whether it's locally here in Bakersfield or in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.
This broadcast is sponsored by His Way Out Ministries, with our home base of ministry operation in Bakersfield, California. For more information about His Way Out Ministries, please visit HisWayOut.com.